And we're currently on a side trip. It's good if you study verse by verse in depth and you trudge along, and it takes you a long time to go through the verses and the chapters. It's good to take broader views with the doctrinal word studies and such to get a better look at the whole canon of Scripture. So, currently we're in a side trip on words of power that came out of the first few verses of Hebrews. We've already hit two of these words. Let's open with a word of prayer first. Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ and the many offices that he holds and carries out, and the job that he has done for all time, for all people, that we might not have to do it ourselves, because it's impossible. And we thank you that he is the architect of the universe and the author of our salvation. We pray that we might live as if we know that. We pray that we might seize the opportunities to carry out your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so words of power. And we hit two of these in the first two verses. This study often comes out of Ephesians 1:19, where you have all four words, the four of the words, in one verse. And my dad taught this, and many doctrinal pastors have taught this, as the power rhombus. So you have dunamis, and you have energeia, and you have iskus. And you have, what is the third one, fourth one? Kratos. And these are the four words that we have in Ephesians 1:19. You want to turn there with me briefly? The two that we had already are dunamis and kratos in Hebrews chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 is a very thick chapter. I think Dad was in there 2 or 3 years where he finished that chapter. And any doctrinal pastor that goes word by word is going to be there a long time. Because what the first 8 verses are a precursor, or actually 3 through 8 are a precursor. You don't get the main verb of the sentence until verse 9, and really the whole chapter is one long paragraph. But we have a prayer in 18. Going back to verse 15, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which is among you, and for your love for all the saints, I don't cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. And there you can have a study for all the words of prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your heart might be enlightened, so that you might know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And here's our verse that we're concerned with. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Now, the first time you look at that, you have a lot of words that look very, very similar in English. So what are we to make of that? You have the surpassing greatness of his power. That sounds almost redundant in English. What does that mean? The surpassing greatness of his power. In accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Well, that sounds like three words again that seem to say basically the same thing. So what does that mean? The Lord never does anything that's redundant. That doesn't happen in the New Testament. So if he used all three of these words, he has something to tell us about it. So I've added a couple of words to the power rhombus. We have 6 words in our study. And one of them, the first one we looked at, is outside. Because it's not a word used of God. It's a power that man uses. Bia. And we studied that last week, or a couple of weeks ago. And that is power, that's arbitrary brute force. It's often translated as violence. It's not a kind of power ever characteristic of God or the people of God, either one. Every context that we looked at was a worldly power, was a cosmic power, was a chaotic power, without direction and without purpose. We looked at several passages in Acts where acts of violence were done to the people of God. In particular, we looked at Matthew 11:12, where we had several of the cognates of this word together so that we could look at the noun, the verb, the adjective. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. So the whole point there is none of that is divine, none of that is directed. It is all arbitrary and chaotic. Force, just for the use of force. Often translated violent. So that's word number 5. And the sixth word that we're going to look at, because it occurs very commonly in context with the words of power, in the center there, exousios, often translated authority. But it is a direct result of these four words for power, that the authority is derived from the power, the perfect power of God. So the first word of the divine realm, the words of power that are characteristic of God and, through our inheritance, the people of God, is dunamis. And we started on dunamis last time. Dunamis is power of capability, a natural ability, general and inherent. This power rests in the person, as opposed to some external means. It's inherent. And often it's useful to translate it as ability or capability. So that's number 2. Number 1 was bia, violent force. And number 2 is dunamis, potential inherent power, natural abilities. So A is inherent power. A, power by virtue of its nature. Now, obviously, God by his nature is power. We have a couple of verses where it says Christ sat down at the right hand of power. Right? So that is a direct reference to God the Father. One of the names for God the Father is power, dunamis. So that's your perfect example of power by nature, by virtue of its very nature. And that is what we hit when we started our study, Hebrews 1:3. So we'll turn back there briefly. Hopefully we know this verse pretty well by now. He is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. This is in the nature of a Hebrew poetic couplet, where you have one clause and another clause expanding on that clause. And in this case, this is a triplet. He is the radiance of his glory. That is, the exact representation of his nature. these things are equivalent, the radiance of his glory, an exact representation of his nature. As a result of that, he upholds all things by the word of his power. And this is our word dunamis. And we could think of this, we could read this, ability. He upholds all things by the word of his ability to do so. Because this is the definition of power, against which all other things must be compared. Absolute power, perfect power, power executed justly and righteously with love through the character of God. Upholds all things by the word of his power, because he is able to. He is the only being in the universe able to. So, point one under A. Is usages with God, especially able to save, the power to save. Only one being in the universe is capable of saving. No one else has the ability, the dunamis, the power to save, except God. Romans 1:16, 20. 9:17 and 1 Corinthians 1:18 and 24. If you would turn with me to Romans chapter 1. And this is just not, this is any kind of deliverance at all. It's not just eternal deliverance from condemnation to eternal life, but it's also temporal deliverance from any kind of hardship. We read this morning, I had the opportunity to have the little kids. I haven't taught the little kids in a long time, and it's refreshing. It's a good thing to do. It's a good reminder of the teaching process. Because you should be able to, as a teacher, to teach anybody. I mean, whatever level they need to be taught at, you know, because it's communication. It's all communication. And we talked about this. The ability to trust and effective prayer, which requires trust. But there is no situation in which we need to fear, because God is able to deliver us from any situation. And it doesn't depend on us. It depends on God, who through his character is everywhere and knows everything and is able to do anything. So it's a perfect deliverance. In this case, Romans chapter 1, we're talking about salvation, deliverance for eternal condemnation. Verse 16. Well, actually, back up to 15. Thus, for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And we can read here, if we think about this, it is the power of God to save, is the ability, the potential, the capability, potential power of God, special and unique to God. No one else has this ability. For it is in the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. So the ability, the potential, the inherent ability is there of God to save all mankind, because the penalty has been paid for all mankind. But it must be mixed with faith. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So man's part in life, eternal life, temporal life, is faith. If you're going to be delivered from the things that beset us day to day, faith. Prayer takes faith. And if you're going to be delivered from eternal damnation, if you're going to have the gift of eternal life, which has already been paid for, it takes faith. Verse 20. Since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, God's invisible attributes, His eternal power, and there's dunamis, the ability to do anything, omnipotence, and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. If we look around us through natural revelation, the perfectly infinite ability of God to do anything is evident. So we are without excuse. Even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became empty in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and idols. So, the gift of God is eternal life and is the unique ability of God to offer that. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 1:18. Very similar passage. Verse 17, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, that the cross of Christ should not be made empty and ineffective. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to those who are being saved, the power of God, the ability of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message priest to save those who believe. That is our participation in the deliverance of God, belief. The rest of it is God's work. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame these things which are strong. So that is the perfect divine capability of God. And number two, so we have two is dunamis, A, power by virtue of its nature, and we're one, God's ability to save, His perfect ability to save. Two, dunamis is the power, is the gift of the Father to the Son. And it is His because of His nature. And we can see this in the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6:13. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. By virtue of His nature, those are His possessions. Because of who He is, His is the kingdom, and the power, the perfect ability to do anything, and the glory, the resultant glory, forever. Three, God's possession, in general, of His nature. And let's look at Revelation. A few of these. Revelation 4:11, 7:12, and 19:1. We'll look at 4:11. Very similar to what we saw in the Lord's Prayer. And this is just recognition. We're in the throne room in heaven. And those present are just recognizing God for who and what He is, and always has been, and always will be. Worthy are You, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. See, the very same we saw before, dunamis. For You did create all things, and because of Your will, they existed and were created. Because of who and what He is, He has the ability to do anything. And the other two verses in Revelation are similar. And as we mentioned briefly before, God is power. It's a name of God. And as we discussed earlier, what is the name of the God? What is the name of God? It is His reputation based on who and what He is and what He's done. That is His reputation, that is His name. And one of His names is power. Turn to Matthew 26:64. God is power. Jesus said to him, well, he's been asked. The high priest stood up and said to him in verse 62, do you make no answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you? The empty accusations of the world against Christ. Because he said, I'm able to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, referring to himself. Jesus kept silent. It didn't mean anything. And the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God. This guy doesn't even know the Mosaic law. This is the high priest asking him to take an oath by the living God. Okay. I adjure you by the living God, which is, you know, a sin, that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, you have said it yourself. He's not going to sin because he's Jesus Christ, but he's going to accept the witness of this Yahoo accusing him. I tell you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Now, very interestingly, he didn't say, I'm going to be sitting. He said, the Son of Man. So he didn't necessarily apply this to himself, did he? Now, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of Man, then he has. This guy doesn't. So the high priest tears his robes and says, he is blasphemed. What further do you need to have? And all he has said, all he's done is quote scripture to the guy. Right? Hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power, coming on the clouds of heaven. And here, the right hand of power is a direct reference to God the Father, the right hand of the Father. And it's the word dunamis. And I find it very useful when I'm looking at the word dunamis to think ability or capability, the right hand of ability, perfect ability, coming on the clouds of heaven. Ability to do what? Establish the kingdom of God on earth. But of course, the high priest thought he had got him. He thought he had blasphemed. He thought he was going to get him. But not so. Prophesy to us, you Christ, who is the one who hit you? See, that's the arrogance of the world. They weren't really interested in the truth. We're going to hit that here in a minute, too. So, and flip over to Romans 1:4 for a similar passage. And remember, we talked about Bia. And Bia is the world's response. Bia is the world's power. Bia is violence. Bia is force. And isn't that what we saw in that context with our Lord Jesus Christ and the high priest? Right? The world immediately resorted to violence. Well, Christ stood silent to the first accusation and then quoted scripture. That is the divine use of power. All he did was just demonstrate his ability. Didn't actually do anything. And stood still. That's divine power. Via the force, the mindless, undirected, purposeless use of force or power. That's the world's power. And it's completely ineffective, as we saw there. So, Romans chapter 1, a salutation. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have these things. So you have there the divine ability attributed to our Lord Jesus Christ, his humanity, his divinity, and in his divinity, capability to do anything, the same capability as the Father and the Holy Spirit, perfect, infinite capability, power, by the resurrection of the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness. So Romans 1:4. 5. God is able to grant all ability. His perfect ability includes the ability to grant it to anyone else. All power that we have comes through God. All abilities that we have are through God. 2 Peter 1:3. And 1 Corinthians 5:4. We'll look at 2 Peter 1:3. Again, we're in the salutation of the letter from Peter. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence. So everything, what of ours comes from the divine ability, divine power, everything. Anything pertaining to divine life or godliness, the Christian way of life, anything pertaining to us while we're walking into the light, every ability we might have comes from the ability of God, the dunamis of God. For by these he has granted to us his most precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature. How do we become more godlike? By claiming his promises. By belief in the ability of God, which he has granted us. Our abilities come from the ability of God, the capability of God. How do we claim that? By memorizing the promises. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Many, many, many promises. And that's how we can claim we are partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is now in the world of lust, the world by lust. Partakers of the divine nature. But how do we claim that, and how do we watch it work out? One of the words we're going to look at in a little bit, energeo. How do we watch that work out in our life? We claim the ability, the capability, the dunamis of God through faith, through the promises. And then we can watch energeo, where the word energy comes from. The working out, the application of power in our lives. So the ability, the capability, the dunamis, that is a gift of God. It comes. We are partakers of divine nature. We just have to claim it. It's a gift of God at salvation, that this ability, this potential, is now also inherent in our nature, just as it is inherent in God's nature. As a new creature, as a new creature, new creation, our human spirit also contains the same ability as a gift of God. But in order to watch it work out in our life, this word we're going to look at, energeo, we have to claim it. We have to mix it with faith. We have to mix it with promises. And then naturally, we talked about exercising our spiritual muscles, how it gets easier and easier over time. That's every step of application of faith. Every step of physical, of spiritual exercise is another act of faith. And it gets easier with each application of faith. For this reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And on, we're talking about the progression of this, the application of spiritual exercise towards conforming to the image of Christ, becoming more and more godlike throughout your Christian life. Verse 8, for if these are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful. That's the energeo, the act of working out divine good production, producing fruit in your life. You are neither useless or unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that is God granting all ability to us. And we have recently studied 1 Corinthians 5:4, but it's useful to look at it in this context as well. And this is the great passage on immorality we spent quite a bit of time in. Verse 3, I on my part, though absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged him who has committed this great sin, as though I were there present. In the name, and again, what is the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? Who and what he is and what he's done. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are assembled, you're gathered together in the church as a spiritual body, and I am with you in spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the extent of that power, that capability, that ability? In this context, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So that is the application of the divine ability granted to Paul, as it is granted to all of us. He's not doing that. Who's delivered such a one to Satan? God. God has already condemned him. That's why Paul can say with perfect honesty, with no guilt or anything like that, I've already judged him as if I was right there in front of you, because the word of God is very clear. In the name of our Lord Jesus, who he is and what he's done, it's already condemned this guy. Condemnation is already made. It's like when Joshua and Caleb were in the promised land, right? And the Gibeonites came. They said, oh, we're poor guys. We've seen what you've done to Jericho. You know, just let us be. We admit you guys are the bad guys on the block. The thing is, God had already told Joshua and Caleb to destroy these guys. Right? They were already condemned. It wasn't Joshua and Caleb doing the condemnation. It was them carrying out the will of God. Right? And because of that, you know, bad things happen. Right? So the condemnation didn't come from Paul. It didn't come from Joshua. It came from God. And it came from the name, the reputation of who God is. So God is able to grant all abilities that we have come from God through his character, through our sharing the divine, partakers of the divine nature. So B, we had A was inherent power, and we've just finished that section, 1 through 5. Now we have B, which is the ability to perform miracles. Why was Jesus Christ able to perform miracles? Because of who and what he was. Because of his character. Why were the apostles or the prophets? Why was Elijah able to raise the dead? Because he shared in that capability. God raised the child. Or Lazarus, right? God did the raising. Whether it was Christ or God working through us, through the prophets, through the apostles, the ability to perform miracles is a direct result of partaking in the divine nature, either because you are God, our Lord Jesus Christ, or because you're of the people of God and you have inherited the divine capabilities. So we have first, this is the phrase often in the New Testament, work wonders. The verb we're going to come back to, that's our word, energeo. Wonders is often our word, dunamis. Acts of power. So first we have Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit in his incarnation. Why did Jesus Christ perform miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit? Isn't he God? Why would he need the Holy Spirit? That's right. Kenosis. He emptied himself. And he was the perfect example. If we're going to work wonders, our wonders are a lot less spectacular. But they're no less important. You know, if you witness to somebody and they come to Christ, that's a miracle. That's a wonder. It is also done through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as a perfect example, our Lord Jesus Christ lived as we must live, as we conform to his image. He worked wonders through the power of the Holy Spirit, as we are to work wonders through the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at our first example, Luke 4:14. I love this. Liberals hate this verse. Fans of Star Trek love it. I remember in seminary we used to joke that Jesus Christ invented the transporter and the replicator. He had the power to go anywhere and make anything out of nothing, right? So, Jesus Christ is out in the wilderness. He's getting tempted by Satan. Verse 13, and when the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Now, remember that he's being tempted to display his power, his capabilities, his dunamis in the wilderness, but for the wrong reason. And what matters when we do anything but the motivation, why we do it, not what we do it. We talk about this when we talk about grace giving. It's not what you gave, it's why you gave it that's important. And any act of divine good production, the motivation is what's important. So Jesus Christ is in the wilderness, and these are things he could do, but they would be for the wrong reason. But directly after Satan departs, he does manifest his power. Right? Immediately, he goes from the desert to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. So there is the display of his capabilities, of his perfect, infinite omnipotence, right after he's told Satan, he's not going to do this, he's not going to do this, he's not going to do this, there is his power. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. That's a long way. So there's the transporter. So that is A, under 1. B is the apostles. And that actually should be, I've got my numbering messed up here. 1, Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. 2, the apostles through the same power. Also through the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8. I'm going to roll this up so we can see what we're doing here. 2, the apostles. Acts 1:8. There are a bunch of verses. I'm going to go ahead and write them down. Romans 15:13. That would be Paul. And 19. Colossians 1:29 and Luke 9:1. So let's look at Acts, the first chapter. So we have the risen Lord in the first few verses, and then we have the commission in verse 6. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time that you are restoring the kingdom to Israel, the kingdom of God now? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the ages which the Father has fixed by his own authority. So we're going to come back to this in the context of authority, exousias. But you shall receive dunamis, power, ability, potential power, capability, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So the basis of this power, the exercise of this power, is through the Holy Spirit. These capabilities come through the Holy Spirit. So the first prerequisite of dunamis is being in fellowship. Right? That ability exists all the time, but it's only going to get exercised. You're only going to get the energeo when you're in fellowship. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. That's the ability. The ability is to evangelize the entire world. And all these other things are just tools to make that happen. The dunamis, the power, is to bring the gospel to the entire earth. All the other wonders that the apostles worked were simply in support of that mission. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So the last thing our Lord Jesus Christ told the apostles before he left the earth was that you have the ability, the power, the dunamis, to evangelize the entire earth. So, look at Luke 9:1. Also the apostles. And really, it's good to read this right after you've read chapter 8, but we'll do without. He called the 12 together, and he gave them power, capability, ability, and authority, which is the binding force. We're going to get to that, but the binding force of the power, the authority over all demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to what? proclaim the kingdom of God. So it's the very same thing. What is the power for? To evangelize, to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's what the power's for. Now, on the way, they've got authority over the world. Authority over demons, authority over disease, ability to perform healing. But those are just tools in the bag. The mission is to evangelize the world. So third is John the Baptist. Matthew 14:2. Synoptic is Mark 14. Mark 6:14. Matthew 14:2. So in the context of our Lord's most, from maybe a worldly sense, the most spectacular miracles, feeding 5,000 people and walking on water, there's the attack by Herod. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the news about Jesus. He's been around the countryside evangelizing. He's gathered a large group of followers. And said to his servants, this is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead. A little off there, but... And that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. For when Herod had John arrested, he had bound him and put him in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip. John had been saying, it's not lawful for you to have her. And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they regarded him as a prophet. So there's the story of John's execution at the hands of Herod. But this is another worldly view. Now, obviously, John the Baptist had miraculous powers, powers that the world didn't understand, capabilities to work wonders. But Herod thought it was because he'd risen from the dead. Now, we know that the source of John's power was his very special commission from God. Right? John being filled with the Holy Spirit from birth to proclaim our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's number three. Number four is ordinary Christians. We also have dunamis. We've looked at a lot of verses, and in none of them did this power come from man. And in none of them is this human ability or capability. In every one of them, so far, we're going to find some examples that are not in this context. But so far, every one of them, the power is from God. We're going to find that with another one of our words, kratos. The word from which omnipotent comes from, all-powerful. In Greek, that's panto krator. There's no case of that belonging, power, belonging to anybody but God in the entire New Testament, except for one instance, which is Satan's pretension to power. That's it. Power comes from God. So ordinary Christians, Galatians 3:5. This is the explanation of justification by faith. O you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. And it's a rhetorical question. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of law, on the one hand, or by hearing mixed with faith, on the other? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, you're now going to be completed by the flesh? So everything about the Christian way of life, every ability, you have to be in fellowship. It's through the Holy Spirit. It's not through the flesh. Did you suffer so many things for nothing, if indeed it was for nothing? Does he then, because Paul is implying clearly that it wasn't for nothing that they suffered, it was clearly part of God's plan, and it was very important. Does he then, who provides you with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and works miracles among you? Did he do that by the works of the law or by hearing mixed with faith? It had nothing to do with the law, did it? Which we're going to study extensive in Hebrews. The law made nothing perfect. We've read that already. Completes nothing. Hearing mixed with faith. We call epinosis, full knowledge. Hearing mixed with faith. The practical application of that. So, our phrase here, works, miracles, is two of our words of power. The verb there is energeo. We saw that in Ephesians 1:19. The practical application of those terms for power, energeo. So, power there, that's dunamis. That is the divine ability, the ability based on our divine, being divine partakers of His nature. The practical application of that ability, working out your abilities or manifesting your abilities among you, which has happened, right? Does He then who provides you with the Holy Spirit and, this is a linear, works miracles, not just once, but many times among you. How was that accomplished? It wasn't by works of the law, of course. It was by being filled with the Spirit, listening to doctrine, mixing it with faith, and claiming the promises day by day. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. The act of divine good production is faith mixed with promises. So, that's ordinary Christians exercising the divine capabilities, the divine power, the divine ability, which is infinite, in their daily lives. If we look at 1 Corinthians 12:28, the context of spiritual gifts. And Bob's going to cover this pretty thoroughly, so we won't dig in very deep. But one of the gifts listed there, we have apostles and prophets and teachers and miracles. The word miracles there is our word dunamis. Again, I think it's useful to retranslate this in your head. Abilities or capabilities. Inherent power. Things you can do. In this case, miraculous things. And then we have gifts of healing, helps, administrations, kinds of tongues. But in this context, we've looked at a lot of occurrences of dunamis. And they're not necessarily things that the world would recognize as supernatural. It is simply the divine abilities. Remember the divine commission to the apostles. The power was to evangelize the world. And the other things in the toolkit were just to enable that mission. And in this case, too, this is just the ability, the capability, the inherent power to carry out the will of God. So, 5 is the kingdom of God. We'll finish with this one. Mark 9:1 and 2 Thessalonians 1:11. So we'll look briefly at Mark 9. And our Lord Jesus Christ was saying to the disciples, "Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who shall not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power." That's dunamis, and that is the profound capabilities of the kingdom of God. The ramifications, if you will. The coming of the kingdom of God with all the ramifications of the kingdom of God. There again, it rests in the divine nature. Right? Okay, we'll close with that. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for our so great salvation that we are partakers in your divine nature. We thank you that we can rest and that you do all the work. All we have to do is accept it, mix it with faith, and be hearers of the word so that we can mix the promises with faith and watch your deliverance, watch your works of wonder in our daily life. Pray that we might be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit and your illumination, that we might see those opportunities to do your will in our life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.